Hi and welcome. This is Matthew Ketchum, your neighborhood friendly technology coach. We're sitting down talking with Jennifer Lafebvre at Downey High School. She's an English teacher that has done an incredible student choice project in her class. So let's find out more.
My name is Jennifer Lafebvre, and I teach English at Downey, and this year I have 5 sections of sophomores, and that's pretty much been what I've been doing for the last few years, but I've had all grade levels, but I've had sophomores for quite a few years by choice. I like their fun energy.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
You had done this really fantastic activity with your students, where they got to choose a topic, choose how they showcase their understanding of that topic with a activity project, and you included even public exhibition of their work. Mm-hmm. And I thought we'd go through the project that you had done with your class. You want to share a little bit about the project?
Well, the idea initially came when I went to a conference a few years prior and just talking about the importance of teaching our community about important issues that just kind of fly over, you know, they aren't in the newspaper or they just aren't commonly talked about, and giving the kids that opportunity to teach the community. Okay. And so when I started thinking about how that could happen, open house. I thought open house, especially the way we do it here at Downey, where we have it in both of our gyms, the big gym and the smaller gym, and all the teachers are there and they can set up whatever they want. And so that was a perfect venue for these kids to set up their projects that they eventually created, and they even interacted with the parents and all the teachers that were there, and they walked around, and it was nice to see them get involved like that.
Wow. And how did you align this activity with your class content or standards?
Yeah, which is tricky, since it's this student choice project. It just wasn't something that is part of the clusters or, you know, our shaping guide throughout the year, or it's not in study sync. So what I did was I just set aside a little bit of time each week, like a day each week, and we started early. Although next time I think we'll have to start a lot earlier. We started early and just set aside a little bit of time each week. And then whatever piece we were working on for this project, we would tie into, or I should say, I would look at pieces from our regular curriculum to just support those skills, or if it was about research or reflection or revision or just writing questions and presentation pieces. So technology, we just throughout the whole process, just a little piece of the project on one day, and then the rest of the week it was down to business like usual, but it just tied in really nicely. So we'd have a foundation for the following week. So yeah, it worked out.
And you've started this with, you know, as you mentioned, those important community topics to address, but you curated some of these topics to present to the students, and they had a choice to vote on them?
That they actually, the kids are the ones who came up with the list.
Oh, okay.
So I, in my mind, I had one that I wanted.
Okay.
So I kept, I did plant the seed a little bit by, I read and had them do some annotating and reading and discussing this article. It was a little piece about refugees having to immigrate and relocate, and so that was my initial. I was hoping we would do something like that to teach the community about the you know, the effects that's having on our community and how we can get involved. And so it ended up where they never even gave that thought a, you know, they didn't, they weren't okay. into that. But they came up, all five sections of my sophomores created their own lists, and then we compiled all the lists, all five lists, and at one point we had over 65 topics.
Wow.
So I put that on a doc, and we, in Schoology, we just did some voting and narrowed it down, and it was all part of the process, early stages at this point, and just part of the process of getting that topic narrowed down. So the final step was we had it down to three topics, and okay. the majority picked human trafficking, and that was, they felt really strongly about that one after it, before, from going from that huge list of 60 something topics, breaking them into groups, having them kind of argue or okay. conversations with one another, getting rid of topics that weren't maybe relevant to the local Modesto community, or, you know, to, or to people their age, or to, we've talked about audience and purpose and what our focus would be, and who think, you know, keep our audience in mind, and yes. what was important to them. And so that's, they had lots of conversations about what would be relevant, and so that was good to hear them arguing, like, no, this is going to be more important. So
it wow, it sounds like even the valuable discourse.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. Activity. Yes. And we did a lot of practicing with I gave them all kinds of sentence frames, you know, in the beginning to help their conversations get started, and we recorded our conversations so that we could listen back and
oh, wow.
and see how where we could improve, you know, listening to one another, or it was just a good process. That even that, just getting to the topic was such a chore, just picking okay. you know, that final. Yeah.
And you utilize the library and the yes. library services and some of their tools with this project?
Yes. Destiny was a great resource that Dana Simic, our librarian, she showed me a couple years ago, and I hadn't used it, but then with this project I finally got brave uh-huh. and just experimented with it myself to see, and it's so easy to use, and it was so easy for the kids to use. It was almost too easy, where next time I do it, I'm really going to have to focus the resources. So Destiny is it's a tool that allows you to create a collection of resources so that kids just aren't Googling things, or they're just not wandering the library not knowing what in the reference room, or okay. and they're more current topics because it's a, you know, it's an online database, so everything is, there's brand, that's what I would show them. Let's look today and see what is in there today. And sure enough, there would always be updated articles on our topic, and so that was cool.
The projects or activities that they were creating on this topic, were they group work or were they individual, and what kind of projects came out of this?
I gave them a choice.
Okay.
In the early stages, they had to do proposals. They would have to come up with a proposal for a project. If they wanted to work with somebody else, I needed a very detailed proposal so that one person wasn't doing all the heavy lifting and the others were sitting back, relaxing, and just making sure that the proportion of work was going to be worked out to the point, you know, everybody could get their share. Okay. And so we looked at their project proposals and did some adjusting here and there, but for the most part, it worked out great. So they had the choice to work by themselves, or they could work in pairs, trios. I think the largest group I had was six kids who ended up, they wrote a small little script and performed and recorded a little play. And it was kind of like an infomercial about human trafficking.
Okay.
And it was really impressive. They took it very seriously, and yeah, it was great.
What other projects came out of this?
So if you, I have on my screen, on my monitor, you can see there's just some drawings that students did. There's some paintings they did. And the way we got to that was we made some lists, just writing lists of words about maybe feelings that the victims may have felt, or we came up with word lists about the families that were affected, the communities, and we bundled those up to see like how, what could come out of those feelings, those ideas, how can we express those feelings, those emotions, those experiences for the community so that they can kind of get an emotional tie to it. So it's not just all statistics and data and research that we're sharing with them. So there was a good balance. On the big screen monitor in the background, students did digital projects that were on a loop, and they had lots of jarring statistics that were just eye-opening and shocking images that caught viewers' attention as they're walking by. Lots of collages. This one project, it was, she created it on her computer, and she even did, what is a time-lapse video?
Okay, yes,
yeah.
Right.
She showed us how she made this on her computer, and she did it just by, you know, blank, starting with a blank canvas, and she ended up with this amazing image here. And it was all just something that she knew how to do. And so a lot of kids use their previous knowledge. They, you know, they had things that they were familiar with. And then some students went out on a limb. This is, you might look at this right here, this little sign that says, how can you help? And you might think, well, that's just a sign. But I know the boy that worked on that, and it was a big deal for him to put his time into creating these letters and painting that. And it was, okay, it was really neat to see him come in on his own time outside of class time. And he wanted to have something that he could put onto this presentation for the community. And it's just this question, how can you help? But he was all in, you know, and it was just his way of getting involved. And it's just a little piece, but yeah.
Yeah, that question is, I mean, for really to engage the community, mm-hmm, into the topic.
Yeah.
What was the students' reflections on this project being connected to the topic within their own project they made?
It happened along the way too. Okay. You know, as we were experiencing the research together in class, it would be really quiet, and then all of a sudden you'd hear somebody, oh my gosh, or, you know, just like, what, or just this expression of disbelief, and the numbers, I think, are staggering, just the things they were discovering, and how close it is to home, and I don't think the kids realize how common it is in our area, and how we are just this road, that 99 running through this town, and the city, it is just, I just don't think they realized how close to home it was.
Yes.
And there was a lot of discovery about we talked a lot about, you know, how can we help? What do we keep our eyes out for? Who do we look for? How do we avoid these situations, you know, and how do we get help when we're scared or feeling alone or anything like that? So, yeah, they had some really good conversations along the way. And then, of course, in the end, after open house, they came back the next morning. Uh-huh. Everybody, people who didn't get to go, you could see in their faces like, oh man, I wish I could have gone. I heard that, you know, I wish I could have gone and seen what it was like. And I showed pictures, and they loved how it was all displayed, and they were really into it. So
how did you evaluate and grade this activity?
Rubrics. Thank goodness. Uh-huh. If I didn't have rubrics for every little piece of it along the way, I probably would have gone crazy.
What would be your advice for best practices or things you would have changed to share with other teachers who might be thinking about doing this in their class?
I think time management. That's just my life in general, just time management. Okay. I have so many ideas, and it's tough to, the bell rings and it's like, oh my gosh, are you kidding? We got, you know, an eighth done of what we were supposed to do. So starting earlier, starting, and even if it's just a tiny little seed of the idea, starting earlier, product, whatever they're going to put into this display.
Yes.
I think I am going to have to look at categories and say, you know, put things in categories. If you do these things, okay, you've got to pick one from this area, maybe a quadrant, you know, a four-piece quadrant, and using those levels, depth of knowledge levels, so that, uh-huh, I can kind of see like what would draw out of these types of projects.
And what are your final thoughts on this activity in the class?
Brought connections that I'm not saying that reading a novel or, you know, writing an essay or reading a poem doesn't, you know, it doesn't create those moments, but over the process, it's a different feeling after you do this together. And sure, like if it was just one class, but to have all five of my sections do this together, it was pretty incredible to see them working with each other and organizing that day. Some kids stayed after school to get everything together, and just seeing them give so much of their time. Kids who didn't, you know, they weren't doing anything.
Yes.
They weren't doing much throughout the year. Uh-huh. And then they are 100% in this project. And they loved having the choice, the freedom to express artistically. And some of them just are more performance kids, and they liked getting out and having that option to talk with the community and wander around and, you know, be there and make a difference. And that's what we really talked about, is how even if we reached one or two people, that somebody who's a victim, somebody who might come across a victim, if it was just one person, imagine the difference that we could make. And that was really, in the end, that's what it was all about. And to experience that with them was really special. So yeah, it's totally worth every moment.
Excellent. Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.